ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति
The chapter is 14 to 18 today, chapter 3.
अन्नात् भवन्ति भूतानि अन्नात् भवन्ति भूतानि पर्जन्यादन्न सम्भवः पर्जन्यादन्न सम्भवः यज्ञात् भवति पर्जन्यः यज्ञात् भवति पर्जन्यः यज्ञकर्म समुद्भवः यज्ञकर्म समुद्भवः अन्नात् भवन्ति भूतानि पर्जन्यादन्न सम्भवः यज्ञात् भवति पर्जन्यः यज्ञकर्म समुद्भवः कर्म ब्रह्मोद्भवं विद्धि कर्म ब्रह्मोद्भवं विद्धि ब्रह्माक्षर समुद्भवं तस्मात् सर्वगतं ब्रह्म तस्मात् सर्वगतं ब्रह्म नित्यं यज्ञे प्रतिष्ठितं नित्यं यज्ञे प्रतिष्ठितं कर्म ब्रह्मोद्भवं विद्धि ब्रह्माक्षर समुद्भवं तस्मात् सर्वगतं ब्रह्म नित्यं यज्ञे प्रतिष्ठितं एवं प्रवर्तितं चक्रम् एवं प्रवर्तितं चक्रम् नानुवर्तयतीहयः नानुवर्तयतीहयः अगायुरिन्द्रियारामः अगायुरिन्द्रियारामः मोघं पार्थ स जीवति मोघं पार्थ स जीवति एवं प्रवर्तितं चक्रम् नानुवर्तयतीहयः अगायुरिन्द्रियारामः मोघं पार्थ स जीवति यस्मात्मरतिरेव स्यात् यस्मात्मरतिरेव स्यात् आत्मतृप्तश्च मानवः आत्मतृप्तश्च मानवः आत्मन्येव च सन्तुष्टः आत्मन्येव च सन्तुष्टः तस्य कार्यं न विद्यते तस्य कार्यं न विद्यते यस्मात्मरतिरेव स्यात् आत्मतृप्तश्च मानवः आत्मन्येव च सन्तुष्टः तस्य कार्यं न विद्यते नैव तस्य कृते नाथः नैव तस्य कृते नाथः न कृतेनेह कश्चन न कृतेनेह कश्चन न चास्य सर्वभूतेषु न चास्य सर्वभूतेषु कश्चिदत्तव्यपाश्रयः कश्चिदत्तव्यपाश्रयः नैव तस्य कृते नाथः न कृतेनेह कश्चन न चास्य सर्वभूतेषु कश्चिदत्तव्य
In 9 he said What liberates you is yajna activity. What binds you is any activity done other than for the sake of yajna. So, from the very beginning, he says, I have said that one must follow yajna activity. Thus, by nourishing gods, the gods will bless you with everything that you require. So, he says, if you have the attitude of taking without contributing, you are a thief. One who eats without producing is a thief. And then if one cooks for his own sake, he only eats agitation. Means he only reaps agitation, mental agitations. On the contrary, if you understand what he has been saying so far, he says, you would be eating the remnants of sacrifice. You understand that you are blessed with so many things from the nature, so it is your duty to pay back to the totality. In fact, we keep saying nature, nature, nature. You are not different from the nature. Nature is only an extension of you. You and the nature are one and the same. You are part of the nature. Nature is only an extension of you. For example, if the sun cools off completely, ultimately you also cool off. The reverse is also true, says Vedanta. So if you vibrate, you can also influence the sun in that particular frequency. So in other words, you and the sun, meaning the nature, are not two different entities. You are one and the same. Different parts of the same one entity. This is what is the concept of the Vishwarupa Darshana also. We are part of the total. So if you do not understand our ignorance, you have ahankar. What is ahankar? I am a separate entity. I assume out of my ignorance a separate entity. I pull my individuality away and assume as though I am separate from the total. I am different. Then I say I am supreme or inferior, whatever. All those complexes come. So if I am not understanding this, an ignorant person will be performing action just to satisfy himself. Are you with me? Whereas a person who understands that I and you are not two different entities, then I am not going to think in terms of doing only for me. I will be doing things which is good for everybody. So he says, Anna Bhavanti Bhutani. Beings come from food. Food becomes blood, food becomes bones, food becomes thoughts, etc. In fact, all these are hiding in food as a potential. So from this, later on I'm going to talk and say that it matters what goes in, what food you eat. So even if you say, I don't know what was the mentality of the person when he was cooking it, so I'm eating outside. So that is why they say mantras to purify, so that you are eating the food that is energized with positive vibration. Because food has a tremendous role to play in the formation of your thoughts as well, according to the Vedas. So, Anna Bhavanti Bhutan. From food comes beings. And where does the food come from? He says, it comes from rain, you know that. From where does rain come? He says, rain comes from yajna activity. And yajna comes from Brahma. Brahma here, I told you, to be taken as Vedas. Veda means knowledge. Veda means knowledge. That's how we explained Vedanta also. Veda means knowledge, Anta means end. So, end of knowledge is called as Vedanta. Culmination of knowledge is Vedanta. So he says, from knowledge, from awareness, an activity springs, then that action will be yajna. It will be done for the welfare of the world. That's what I just explained to you. If out of ignorance you assume an individuality, then all the actions that you will do will be for one's own sake. Isn't it? Then you will be calculating, oh, that person is not doing, I am doing more, why should I do more? You understand? All these thoughts are coming because you are ignorant. The ignorant person doesn't do yajna activity. He sends forth different vibration. So, rain is attracted as a payback from the nature due to your vibration that you send forth, which is out of knowledge. So, when you have knowledge that you are part of the total, what is there is only total. There is nothing else. There is only ocean, froth, foam, waves. These are all differences that we see at the superficial level. But essentially what is there is only ocean. There is only water. All these are totally different ways of looking at it. That's all. But they are only one entity. See, when you fall sick, supposing you have malaria. They say confine that fellow. Right? Why? Because you could spread. How can you spread to somebody who is not connected with you? Supposing they are totally disconnected from you, can you spread your disease to them? So there, everybody is connected by nature. There is only one entity. this out of ignorance we don't understand. And therefore we assume myself to be totally different. See, education is required to strengthen ourselves. Because only a person who is strong can really serve. A weak person cannot serve. This whole concept is from that angle. He is saying, you have to be strong through this knowledge and not be weak thinking that you are separate. You are one, and that gives you real strength. Because real strength therefore is knowledge of oneness. And once you have that knowledge, then activity that will spring out of that knowledge will be yajna. So therefore yajna comes from Vedas. You understand? Because Vedas always talk about oneness. There is only one truth, and there is only that truth, and that is Brahma. So therefore yajna comes from Vedas. And where does the Veda come from? He says Vedas come from Brahman. Brahman means God. Now this we have been saying, Vedas are apaurusha. Apaurusha means what? Which is not the creation of a human being. Vedas are something that was revealed through the human being. It is not the handiwork of a human being. When we say it is not the handiwork of a human being, what we mean by that is, it is not the handiwork of the body and intellect of a human being. When the individual ego dissolved and he became one with the total, then the God was speaking through the individual. Here, the individual is not the karanam, individual is the nimitta matram. Nimitta matram means he becomes the instrument. See, in each one of us, the divinity is there. But what is preventing the divinity from expressing itself to us is the ego. So when the ego is dissolved, then the divinity expresses through our personality. So all these great masters in different parts of the world, when they dissolve their ego, they became one with the truth. And whatever they were saying, it is the divinity speaking through them. Therefore, Vedas are not something that is conceived by the human intellect. It is when the individual dissolves, then the divinity speaking through them as it were. So, God is not something that can be seen. God is not something to be rejected simply because one has not seen. Right? As long as you can say boldly that I know everything, I have known everything, how can you say whether God is there or not? How can you say there is no God? Can God be not there in something that is not known to you?
So God manifestation for people like us at this stage, we can neither accept and neither can we reject.
Absolutely. Whether God is there, to say blankly yes, God is there, as if you had breakfast with him. You understand? That is another madness, to say God is there. And to say God is not there, strictly speaking, to say God is not there, you should know everything. Right? If you know everything, then you can say yes, God is not there. But as long as there remains things that are not known to you, can God be not there in things that you do not know? Or can God not be the things that you don't know? So therefore, how can you say God is not there? To say God is there, God is not there, both are madness. What Vedas say is, everything is interconnected. Right? If you become selfish and start thinking that you are separate from the total, you will be spreading forth a different vibration which affects the total, and you will not get what you have to get from the total. The best example is, take your body, different parts of the body. Each part, let us say, assumes themselves to be separate entity. And then thinks in terms of, what will I get? What am I getting? Nothing. So much I am working, I am only getting this much. So let me stop working, let me start enjoying. Supposing kidney starts thinking like that. then ultimately the other parts also get affected, then totally there will be destruction. So he says only yajna there can be there. And yajna can only be there when you understand everything is one. So Vedas. So from knowledge. Veda doesn't mean book. See, one thing we need to understand. What is the basic difference between a book and a guru?
The book is left to your interpretation, our interpretation. We read it and we interpret it our own way, our own mind. Guru helps us look at it in a different way.
Guides us.
Explains us.
It's implemented in our lives, in our living, not in theory.
Book is static knowledge. Guru is dynamic knowledge. Vibrant knowledge. Please understand this. Guru is a vibrant, dynamic knowledge. Book is a static knowledge. So therefore, whatever is said in the book, I am not saying it is wrong or right. But when you have a guru, guru is somebody whose knowledge with reference to present moment. Excuse me. That is why we say you must know it from the guru. Now, knowledge with reference to the practical life, anubhav, that is guru. All the masters through their experience of the truth have declared the truth.
Knowledge with reference to?
The reference should be present.
Okay.
In the context, applied knowledge. Now, you see, all the great masters experience the truth and they reveal the truth at different times. And that has been collected and put forth in the book form. Right? But that knowledge has to be brought in the present context. Otherwise, it is a dead information. Guru is somebody who brings it to the present context. Really. Therefore, it becomes vibrant. So, here, knowledge, when we say Vedas, we mean knowledge by which we mean dynamic knowledge, not static knowledge. And that dynamic knowledge brings you this understanding, meaning you have made that knowledge dynamic in your life. It is not just book information. I have studied Vedas and I am repeating it. Then it is of no use. But when I see it dynamically in my life, then I understand that there is only oneness. So in my own interest, I have to make sure that the other person is also educated. Ignorant of things, he has to keep the other person ignorant so that he can exploit him. What he, by that understanding, he is actually harming himself. See, all this exploitation is happening how? Oh, I know this. If I share it, then he will also become knowledgeable. If he becomes knowledgeable, then I will not be able to exploit that fellow. So let him continue to be ignorant. What he doesn't understand is by keeping the other fellow ignorant, he is creating problem for himself. He doesn't understand that. But when the other person becomes knowledgeable, when the other person also understands that he is part of the total, then he is going to contribute, you are going to contribute, then the society is going to be a society of contribution. Real meaning. If you keep the other person ignorant, other person ignorant, in fact you will think of keeping the other person ignorant only when you are also ignorant. Truly knowledgeable person, I am talking about knowledge of oneness, he will never restrain from passing this knowledge to the other person. He wants everybody to understand this oneness. Why? When in a society and everybody understands this oneness, then everybody will be functioning in the spirit of yajna. Really? See, a lot of organizations, They say, people who are at the higher level, they do not want to share their knowledge to the other guys at the lower level. What they are not understanding is this concept that I am talking. They don't see themselves as one with the organization. That's where the problem is. So to make that person understand that he is part of that organization is the main thing. You understand? So then, that person is also contributing, you are also contributing, then there is parasparam bhavayantaha. And there is parasparam bhavayantaha, the wellness of the organization improves further. Profit potential increases. And the profit potential increases, that trickles down to everybody in the organization. When you do not share your knowledge with them, thinking that they will become knowledgeable, I can't exploit them anymore, then their work also suffers. Then their organization potential also suffers. Slowly you will drag everybody down, the entire organization down. So he says, Veda means knowledge. And where does the knowledge come from? Knowledge comes from God. Knowledge comes from God means? God is not coming and speaking. God is not taken birth and then he comes and speaks. Knowledge comes from God means when the ego is dissolved, what remains is divinity. When the obstruction is gone, see, I explained to you the meaning of Bhagavad Gita also once, if you remember. Your life should become Bhagavad Gita in the sense, Lord should be singing the song through your personality. Today there is so much of ego. The ego restricts the divinity to express itself through you. When the ego is removed, then the divinity expresses beautifully through you. You know, Swami Ramtita gives a beautiful story. You wanted to know stories, right? So she wanted to know some stories which she can communicate to her son. Ramtita's beautiful story. This really inspires me. He says, in a kingdom there were two great painters. So the king organized a competition between the two. He gave them 30 days. He gave them a huge big room, hall. And said, one side of the wall you paint and the other side the other fellow paints. After 30 days, we will all come and inspect and then we will see who is the better painter. After two. They wanted to decide who is the best. So one fellow started painting from day one on the wall given to him. Other fellow didn't come on me. 28th day he appeared, the other fellow, with just a very sheet. You know that sandpaper? And kept on shining his side of the wall. And that wall was so refined that it almost became a mirror. Take it. And this fellow was painting on this side. All his painting got reflected here in his mirror. So, and when it got reflected, it got the depth also. So he was declared the best. So what Swami Ramtita says there is, one way of educating yourself is stuffing information from the outside world. Other education is refining your ego. When you refine the ego, divinity expresses without any restraint totally through you. And that is true education actually. And that education is not available today in the society. The education today is stuffing information. And you start stuffing information from very small age itself. So much of information. You are very happy when the information is being stuffed. But what is true education is refinement of the ego. When the ego is totally dissolved, then the divinity will express itself through you. That is the true meaning of education. Education means to eke out, to draw out, not stuff. So, this is what he is saying. So, yajna is in knowledge, and knowledge is when ego is removed. Today, when you have so much of information, ego becomes more consolidated. I know more than you. And that is considered to be knowledgeable. That is not knowledgeable at all. It is not knowing more than you. It is knowing that there is no difference between you and me. That you and me are one and the same. And when that ego dissolves, then it is like some dissolved. Blocks have been removed. And the blocks have been removed, it beautifully flows. We have blocked the knowledge. All those blocks have to be removed. That's all we need to do. A guru doesn't a guru is not somebody who imposes a picture on the personality. A guru is somebody who chisels away the unwanted thing. Like a sculptor, when he sees a boulder, he sees a Ganesha in it. You and me don't see Ganesha in it. He just removes the unwanted, unnecessary chips away. When those unnecessary chips are removed, Ganesha emerges out of it. So there is divinity, there is infinite potential in each one of us. That infinite potential is not shining forth because the ego is so much. So true education is what? Removal of ego. So when you give information to the child, along with it, when you don't make the child understand that the child is part of the total. The total is one. And when the ego is completely removed, then the child's infinite potential is realized. Till then the child is not really educated. Really. Then the child with so much of information, it thinks that it is superior, or with less information it thinks it is inferior. Then it is fighting with the totality. When it is fighting with the totality, what happens? Suffers. So all that he's saying here is, there are two ways. One is, you can fight with the total, or you can be one with the total. If you are one with the total and you perform action, that is yajna. When you fight with the total and you act, then that is non-yajna activity. So the first two categories that he spoke about in verse 12 and 13, the tamasic and rajasic, is fighting with the total. The third category which he spoke in the 13th verse again. 12th verse talks about tamasic, 13th verse talks about rajasic and sattvic. So, tamasic and rajasic are fighting with the total. Sattvic is flowing one with the total. See, there is an order. And by fighting against that order, are you going to be a winner or loser? You're going to be a loser. And when you understand that there is an order and you go along with the order, you will be a winner. The very process also is more enjoyable. So that's what he's saying. The Dharma Chakra, he's going to talk about it next. Chakra, Dharma Chakra is there. So by following the Dharma Chakra, and that you will only be able to follow when you are knowledgeable. Tamasic and Rajasic people do not have this knowledge. Later on he is going to talk about Sattvic knowledge, Rajasic knowledge and Tamasic knowledge in the 18th chapter. Then he will say Sattvic knowledge is that which sees unity in diversity. Rajasic knowledge is that which sees diversity in everything. So today you think that Rajasic knowledge is more prevalent or Tamasic knowledge, Sattvic knowledge? Rajasic. So the infinite potential is not coming through that person. Today, in the name of art, we have bonsai and all these things where they clip the roots. And this is what we are doing with our children also. According to me, it is such a sinful act. You understand? Clipping the roots. If somebody wants to clip your freedom, they say you have to be at home only. How do you feel? You don't feel the same way you are extension. I would like to use that word. Plants and birds and peace are all your extension. The mountains are all your extension. You don't understand that. That your own self. So out of ignorance, you say I am different, and then you go on clipping. And then you call this as an art. I don't understand what kind of art it is. It must be some perverted art. How can it be art? So, out of dissolution of ego, divine knowledge expresses itself, and when it expresses through your organs of action, it expresses as yajna. And when such activity flows, that activity brings rain, and that brings productivity. If you have to get back to Brahman, if you have to realize your infinite potential, understand it thus, you do your action. And when you go on doing it, then it becomes sadhana. Then there will come a time when you go on exhausting your vasanas. When you have completely exhausted the vasanas, you have arrived there. So the way to get back to Brahman is yajna. The way to gain productivity in the world, prosperity in the world is yajna. So for material prosperity and spiritual success, both, there is only one thing. What? Yajna. And what is yajna? Action with awareness. What awareness? That I am one with the total. I am not separate from the total. I am one with the total. So when you think that I am one with the total and function, it is sadhana. When you don't have to think anymore, you have the knowledge always as your own, then you have arrived at the gate. That's the difference. The difference between a sadhak and one who has reached. In the case of a sadhak, it is what? Effort. In the case of a realized soul, it is spontaneous. That's the difference. The more and more you keep this knowledge and function, the more and more it becomes automatic. So you got to continue with this thought that I am not separate from the total and continue that. So what Krishna is saying is, instead of running away, because Arjuna's argument was, I want to move away. Krishna said, instead of moving away, if you remember once we discussed, there are only two types of people. One is running away, other is running after. One is running away from money, other is running after money. One is running away from the opposite sex, other is running after the opposite sex. Both are what? Constantly running. So what Krishna is saying here is, instead of running, you gain the knowledge and act. Knowledge that you are one with the total. And thus when you function, only knowledge can liberate you. Nothing else can liberate you.
Only knowledge can?
Liberate you, nothing else. Only awareness. You cannot do an action mechanically and think that you will liberate yourself. Impossible. You have to do an action with awareness. And that's what is going to explain more in detail in the next verse. These are very, very interesting and important verses. Practical verses. How to live in this world. People keep asking, what is Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is knowledge of life and living nature.
In this book it's 298.
The new book.
Chapter 298.
So the Bhagavad Gita, we keep saying it is knowledge of life and living. And this is exactly what we mean by that. If you know how to live your life, you will be performing yajna activity. If you do not know, then what will you do? He's talking about in 16. He's comparing. Evam pravartitam chakram. Evam pravartitam chakram.
నానువర్తయతీహయః అగాయురింద్రియారామః మోహం పాత స జీవతి ఏవం ప్రవర్తితం చక్రం నానువర్తయతీహయః అగాయురింద్రియారామః మోహం పాత స జీవతి. He who does not follow here, the wheel does set in motion. He is talking about Dharma Chakra, the chakra of order, how it functions. When every part is doing what it's supposed to do, understanding that every part is connected, there is only one entity, then the Dharma Chakra goes on smoothly. If any part thinks itself to be separate and not as one entity, then there will be not free rotation of Dharma Chakra. So he says, what will they do? Living in sin, rejoicing in the senses. Kaupya Jaka. You understand? In North India, you say that you understand. That language. Kaupya Jaka. Living in sin, rejoicing in senses. He lives in vain upata. This is what I said. If you understand that this is the order, this is how the nature functions, to fight with nature is madness. Isn't it? How much ever you fight, only nature will know. Science should be developed in line with nature, not fighting with nature. Right? And all those people who want to fight with nature cannot accept God. That is also independently true. Because if they accept God in order, then they will not be able to fight with it. So, he who doesn't follow, what happens, he says? If a person doesn't understand, doesn't have this knowledge, that I am one entity, one with everything. Nature is only my extension. When a person doesn't understand that, what will he do? He will live in senses. What is living in senses means? Not contributing, but enjoying. Living in senses means not putting in the effort, instead he wants to enjoy. And that is what he calls a sin. Remember, what is sin? The day you plan to gain money without working, it is sin. The day you plan to get things free, it is sin. And today everything is ruined up. It becomes even more difficult to communicate Bhagavad Gita. Which Bhagavad Gita itself says, tamasic person's intellect is perverted. He will consider love as attachment and attachment as love. How to explain to a guy who is seeing everything perverted? It's almost an impossible exercise. Do you think? Today there are certain things, if you speak, they'll say this guy is all, he is not modern. All the old things he's talking. It's not a question of old or new. What is eternal has to be respected. What is attractive people take today? These are all attractive things. The modern management jargons are attractive. All the companies which follow the modern management jargons failed. And yet you are sending your children to those same universities to study the economics. See, in our country, we have four stages of life. Brahmacharya, Vanaprastha, Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. Brahmacharya, I mentioned to you before also, Brahmacharya is nothing but stage of absorption, strengthening, consolidating. Right? You don't restrain from indulgence, because there is, because sense objects are bad, therefore you have to restrain. No, you should not be stopped by sense objects. So you see, before you commit an opponent, you should become strong, isn't it? You first become strong and don't beat the fellow. I don't want to run away from him. So when in Brahmacharya Ashrama they talked about certain discipline, they only wanted to make you strong. If you don't lead a life of discipline for the first 25 years, then you will be spending your vital energies. If you spend your vital energy, what happens is you will be stuck with the worldly objects, mental level. This is what we need to understand. All those who in the olden days talked about Brahmacharya, they did not talk about Brahmacharya against sex. They talked about it because they said, if you do not become strong, then sex will occupy your mind. You will be stuck with it. You understand? You will never cross, go beyond it. Only a strong person can actually enjoy sex. It's only the strong person who can go beyond sex. And we talk about sex because sex involves all the five senses. Even if one sense has to be conquered, you have to be strong. The weak person is mentally stuck with that sense. Remember this first. This is the main thing that we need to understand. So therefore he says, living in sin, rejoicing in senses. His whole mind is caught up with sense objects. The guy whose mind is stuck with sense objects, he never progresses. Yes or no? So if you understand this Dharma Chakra, then what will you do? First will be restraining. Yes or no? You understand the Dharma Chakra, there is a time to go through the sense enjoyments. That will come in life. But when the time comes, you should be somebody who will be able to meet it fully and enjoy it fully. At the same time, make sure that it doesn't occupy your mind. And for that time, you have to equip yourself with strength. But now itself, if you start spending your energies, what will happen? You will be stuck with it. You will not go beyond it. This is what it is. So, if there is no restraints practiced in the beginning, then that fellow or that individual or organization or family, you will see slowly spending all their energies and losing the capacity to enjoy the contact. And not only using the capacity to enjoy the contact, but getting stuck with the object mentally. Never move. And any stagnation is sin. I've explained this before. Flow is dharma. Stagnation is sin. So therefore he says, Dharma Chakra is going like this. There is an order. There's a time for everything. First you must work and become strong. You must conserve energy. Tapas encompasses two aspects. One is conservation of energy, not allowing it to dissipate in the lower channels. Then directing those energies conserved towards a higher goal. That is tapas. So for a person to shine forth in life, there has to be conservation and preservation of life energies in the beginning. But if in the beginning itself he starts going on indulging, then the person loses more and more vital energies of life. And that person is wasting his life, living in vain, living in sin, rejoicing in senses, doesn't understand that his life is gone in vain. So he says he lives in vain. lives in vain means useless life. A parallel to this verse is there in Kema Upanishad. It says, Yacheda Veti Tata Satyam Asti. Yacheda Veti Tata Satyam Asti. Means, if you lead the life of life as mentioned in Vedas, you are leading the life of Satyam. Veda means what? Knowledge. An elderly person is saying something out of his experience. Right? He knows you must preserve your strength. You must develop your strength. Don't waste it. So he says, but for the youngster, the attraction is very tempting. Yes, sir. And today in the world, making our children have these attractions and everything in daily life has become very common. In fact, a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, somebody was talking to me. They said today, for children to have parties, just some get together for some reason or the other, and spending 1.5 lakhs, 2 lakhs is very common in a party. It is all considered to be very in the thing. You think you can have discussion with such parents? If you go and tell them Devam Pravartitam Chakram, that's a difference. There can be no discussion. Then you know, they will not understand anything. But that's what it is. Diha cheda veti tata satyam asti. Chediha veti mahati vinashti. Bhuteshu bhuteshu chitya dhira. Chitra dhira. Bhuteshu bhuteshu chitra dhira. Means very rarely there is one wise person who sees sense in all these things. In the olden Gurukula system, the rich and the poor, everybody's children went to the Gurukul and they had to go through all the disciplines there. They are basic comforts, that's all. But today, air-conditioned bus, everything air-conditioned. See, the more and more you expose to the attractions of life, the more and more weak you become. And when you become weak, remember, mentally the sense objects get stuck.
And also become dependent.
They are becoming dependent, no? The sense objects become stuck. Firstly, they don't know how to enjoy the senses. Without brahmacharya, there is no bhog. Understand? Brahmacharya enhances bhog. And only a person who can actually be in bhog can get into yoga. The guy who doesn't know what is bhog, he will be talking about yoga without any yogya, without any yogyata. You understand? Who qualifies to be yoga, to be in yoga? One who knows bhog. Remember, we spoke about knowing being the thing that liberates. You are searching for somebody, an example I gave you, and that somebody will come in a hurry, you will come and see in this room. Right? Then you say, oh, it's not there, and you go to so many rooms. The doubt will come. Maybe he's there in the lounge, I didn't see properly. So you have to see it totally. Only then can you be free from it. That's why we say Grastha Ashrama is given after Brahmacharya Ashrama for you to be in bhog totally. Believe me. Don't misunderstand my words, what I'm saying. If you understand correctly, being in bhog totally means what? Being in bhog with the total knowledge. Then you know where the bhog stands. Then you will turn towards yoga fully. You have yogyata. You have earned the sampadyam of going towards spirituality only. Otherwise, those who turn into spirituality without yogyata outside they will be talking about it, inside their thoughts all will be book. Please understand this. That's why they beautifully said Brahmacharya Ashrama, Grihastha Ashrama, then comes Vanaprastha Ashrama and Sannyas. But we don't understand these things. Today these are all nonsense. There is no restraint at all. Chalo. Those most expensive mobile phones. Everything has to be the best for our kids. Thinking that we are going to make them strong people, we are making them only weak people. So he says, evam pravartitam chakram. This is how the chakram, the wheel is moving. If the wheel is moving this way, why you want to fight with it? Only an ignorant fellow will want to fight with it. Okay, fight. By the time you understand that I lost, you have lost many things. You have lost your whole life. Isn't it? Lost your complete life. Even then, if you understand, it's okay. Many people don't understand. They go on fighting, 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 and they think, why am I not still getting it? Why am I not getting it? So therefore, you will see, another thing that he is saying here is, those who struggled in the beginning, enjoy later. Those who enjoy now, don't enjoy later. You go to school, what happens in schools? Those who struggled, studied, they are well positioned later. Those who sat in the canteen, didn't go to the college, continued working in the canteen only. Isn't it? In the beginning, it is effort. In the beginning, it is sowing the seed. In the beginning, it is offering, not taking. The moment you think in terms of taking, finished. Even when you gain knowledge, go on receiving, 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 receiving. Don't think in terms of encashing it. Believe me, if you encash your knowledge, that much is, that much tapasya has lost. So instead of encashing anything, go on receiving and make yourself strong.
What do you mean encashing?
Using it for immediate benefits. Go on consolidating. The deeper you go, if somebody goes to work at the age of 18, after 12th standard, somebody says no. Even though now I can get some job and some money with which I can buy some stuff and enjoy, I'll struggle. Let me go through degree, let me go through master's, let me go through PhD. He's putting in effort, right? He's not sitting and cashing his knowledge. And see, that fellow afterwards his takeoff will be much, much faster, much better. That much tapasya he has done in the beginning. Because he understood he has to flow with the Dharma Chakra. Those who don't understand to flow with the Dharma Chakra, they will all encash. Never get into this encashing business in anything. Go on consolidating yourself. That's what he's saying. It's a beautiful truth he's talking about here. Evam pravartitam chakram. So those who do not know this, Indriyarama. Indriyarama means they are rejoicing in senses. Opportunity mila, immediately encashed. When you encash, to that extent you have lost your strength.
tapasya.
That's why they say all this in Puranas and all that, the Munis, Rishis, they did so much of tapas and then something they encashed. After that they have to do even more rigorous tapas. We go on encashing, what luck? Senses lose the capacity to contact and the desire for the object has increased. It started occupying your mind totally. You are not free. So, a strong person enjoys and a strong person becomes free from the object. A weak person cannot enjoy, also the object gets stuck in the mind. Believe me. Therefore, in Brahmacharya Ashrama, certain disciplines are mentioned. Which is very important to conserve your vitalities. If a person understands, I am consolidating my position, therefore I am not contacting these things, then he understands that he is not against the contact. When you restrain yourself, understanding that these contacts are all dangerous, bad, then it becomes self-denial. When you understand that these contacts have a role to play in life and for me to enjoy and go beyond these contacts, I must become strong, for which I am now preparing myself and withdraw, it becomes sense control. What is the basic difference between sense control and sense denial? Knowledge. Wrong understanding and wrong view of the sense objects, you withdraw from it, it becomes sense denial. That fellow is running away from the sense world. This fellow is not running away from the sense world. This fellow is withdrawing into himself to make him strong so that he will be able to make it fully. You know, one lady was telling me, she is a Bharatanatyam teacher in South India. She was telling me nowadays, all these people who bring their kids to the Bharatanatyam teacher, first day when they bring, they only are asking, when will be the Arangetru?
When will be the
Arangetru?
The first performance.
You see, for 8 years,
7 years of practice.
There is so much of, urgency. Arangetru. You understand? Whatever you learn in music, Carnatic music, supposing you learn better than that, you have to learn, go on doing tapasya. You don't think in terms of Arangetru. You don't think in terms of performance. Right? Go on learning. Consolidate, and that fellow, when he comes out and gives a performance, it will be a wonderful performance. And he will be reveling in giving performance, audience will be reveling, and so many more praises and everything will come. Still, those praises and things will not get to his head. What do you mean? He doesn't show any urgency in coming out and giving performance. When he gives performance after consolidating himself, it's going to be one performance to be talked about. And so much praises, so many people, so, but it will not get into his head. But today, we want to send our kids and this and that in the name of exposure. But what we fail to understand is, when the person starts getting so much of appreciation, the appreciation starts getting into the head of the person, that person cannot really go and shine forth fully. It's very, very important to understand. Go on practicing. And when you have really ripened, because the question comes, when then I can give performance? This question is coming because you have not still grown to that level. Would you want to know, have you woken up or not? When you woken up, you know when you woken up. The very fact that you are asking when then I should give performance, that means you still not grown to that level of giving performance. So if you go and ask the Guru, do you think I have come to the level of giving performance? He will say, no, no, continue doing practice, continue doing practice. The guy who is not at all giving any questions to the Guru, Guru will one day say, okay, come on, talk now. You understand? Give a lecture. Do this. Why? Because Guru knows this fellow as Guru. And that fellow appreciation will not go to it, will not go to his head. The moment appreciation and all these things get stuck at the head level, his performance slowly goes on deteriorating. Therefore, in anything, any field for the matter, consolidation should be your value. Whether it is studies or music or sports or whatever field it might be. So you must make sure your kids go on consolidating and they understand the value of consolidation. But today the value is not of consolidation, it is all encashing.
Quick results
ends up in no result, ends up in frustration. In other words, you give yourself to that art or science fully.
Art or
science fully.
Okay.
Then that art or science will start giving fully to you. This is how it is. Parasparam bhavayanta. Guy who dedicates himself fully for that art or science, not thinking in terms of attaching at all, nature will provide him, nature will give him stage to perform. Because he's right. If you want to pluck mangoes from the mango tree by pelting stones, where would you aim at? Ripened ones, right? So the society will use you if you are ready to encash, and they will use you fully and then you will be dropped like a hard potato. Then it is such a big tragedy. Because you were in limelight and it's all gone. You are in total frustration. Doesn't that happen? So what he says here, you must relate it with your daily life. Then you say, my God, how much deep message is being said here. Evam pravartitam chakram. Nanu vartaya kihayaha. Nanu vartaya means one who doesn't follow. Na anuvartaya. Get it? Na anuvartaya means one who doesn't follow this law. So I keep saying, none can break the law. One can only break oneself against the law. This is the message here. None can break the law. One can only break oneself against the law. That is the meaning of the shloka. That is the meaning of that shloka. Ya chede veti gata satya vasti. Na chede ya veti mahati vinash. Always give importance to the depth and not the length. And you go deeper and deeper and deeper, you are not getting dividends immediately, isn't it? But in the long run, it starts paying back rich dividends. Yeah, but today the whole world is quickly make money and move. Quick. And living in sin, rejoicing in senses, living your life in ways. You don't have such examples nowadays in front of you. You have only examples for those people who have cash everywhere. So you also follow them. So if you want your children to understand this, you must base your life also on this. There are things that you should ponder, because this is very, very deep what he is saying here. Indriya, rejoicing in sense world. When you rejoice in sense world, you lose your senses. See, the more and more you indulge, the more and more you will lose the capacity to contact. And when your mind starts getting occupied by the sense world, can you be sensible? You will be a possessed fellow, possessed by the sense world. So when you are possessed by the sense world, you will lose your senses. That's all it is. Why somebody is behaving like this? He is frustrated because he encashed. He made quick things and he started losing all the strength. He became occupied by the sense objects in the mind. He couldn't proceed further in his field. And he started destroying himself more and more. He turns into non-alcoholic or this or that. Isn't that what is happening in the world? So never encash. Go on doing tapasya. Swamiji keeps on saying this. Spillover will take care. Spillover. Don't encash. I feel one of the greatest advices my guru has ever given is this. He's given it because he's gone through the scripture and he's been living and talking about it for so many years, 40, 45, 50 years now. Right? But it is so difficult to see the value of the knowledge. Because you go to the other knowledges, you get immediate agitators. Here though, no agitator, nothing, nobody knows you. So, think, my God, this is not correct. That should be correct. So you kind of follow that. Herd instinct. Once upon a time, there was Sattvic knowledge in the society. So Becham was that. Are you with me? Now our society is all having Tamasic knowledge. Rajasic and Tamasic knowledge. When Rajasic and Tamasic knowledge is there, you have only so many people giving examples in that line, in that direction. So Becham will be in that direction. Isn't it? And the real the people who understand business, this business families, when their kids study and come back, they don't straight away put them as a managing director or anything in the organization. They in fact send them to somebody else's company to work. I've seen this myself in many families. In fact, I was listening to a businessman's example. You know this Hudson Group, which is involved in that milk, Arogya milk and ghee and all that. I believe they're doing very well in North India also. They're from South India. That gentleman is not somebody who is educated very well. He just finished up a 12th or something. He was giving an interview in one of the television channels, which I happened to see. very interesting things he said. He said, my son, he was educated abroad, but after he finished his education, I sent him to my friend's company. That friend only knows that this guy has come here to learn experience and he's going to go back and run his company. He's not coming to work here. The friend was not supposed to tell any of his employees. He was just inducted as if he is one ordinary employee. The guy whom he was reporting to was very impressed with his skills and his hard work and all that. So after 1 or 2 years, the friend, the managing director, told his manager, relieve the fellow. Ask him to resign and relieve him. Manager said, sir, he's a very good asset for the organization. Don't relieve him. You understand? Go through this rigor in the beginning. Straight away if you won't plant him there, it's not going to be success. You got to make him to go through the rigors of life. So what sort of gifts you are giving to your kids? Are you making them go through the rigors of life? Then at the age of 21, 25, they have seen everything in the world. What do you think will give them the kick? Maybe they'll have to hang upside down. Something, all these kind of nonsensic things to get the kick. What do you think perversion came into this world? Because they did not go through the rigors of life. And things have been given abundantly. You become weak. There has to be regulation. There has to be restraint. There has to be tapasya, consolidation. In the interest of your kids, make sure that they go through the rigors. The other day, I was listening to somebody who talked on art of parenting. Very interesting point he made. He said, the child which was made to go through the rigors of life takes care of the parents when he grows up. The child which was pampered abandons the parents. It's a fact. There is always exception to the rule, but that is only exception. This is exactly what Bhagavad Gita has said. I am sure this is what Bible will say, Quran will say, all the scriptures anywhere in the world will say. Because it is divinity speaking through those individuals, whoever it was. You understand? So when the ego is completely dissolved, and when divinity speaks, it says, evam pravartitam chakram. So know how to live and then live. Don't live, experiment with your life and burn your fingers. This is what we mean by saying learn and live. Don't burn your fingers by living any which way you want. It might be attractive, but it will be fatal. This might not be attractive, but this will pay rich dividends. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnam Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.